Welcome to the Whole Food Vegan Podcast.
Exciting vegan food, no crap, no agenda.
Helping you enjoy a wonderfully varied, tasty, easy to prepare and nutritious whole food plant-based diet.
Simple tip, easy recipes and helpful hints on how to get more enticing vegan meals into your diet. Usually recorded after a bottle of Merlot on a Friday night.
Hello and welcome to the Whole Food Vegan Podcast. My name is Mark.
And I'm Sue.
Hello.
Hi.
And this week, we are going to be talking about slow cookers. And we both love slow cookers.
Yep, they're really good this time of year.
Yep. So we're going to talk about the benefits of using a slow cooker, different types of slow cookers, some recipes, and then some top tips.
Yep.
So let's get stuck in. Benefits of a slow cooker.
Oh, I love my slow cooker. It's so easy. It's, for me, one of the best things about it is you don't have loads of washing up and, you know, loads of dishes, and you haven't got all the space for all the dishes in the kitchen. It's just a one pot meal, which I love.
Very, very efficient.
Very efficient.
Efficient cooking, because you haven't got to get lots of pots and pans out. And also efficient washing up. Mm. I like that.
And you don't have to do a lot of prep very often. You can just literally chuck it all in and leave it, which I do quite often.
Yeah.
Right.
And we find them very versatile. So people seem to think that you can only use a slow cooker for stews and things like that. But we've cooked all sorts of things. And we will talk about some of those recipes. There's different things that we've cooked a bit later on. Mm. So a slow cooker doesn't have to be just for a sloppy stew. You can use all sorts of things in it, and we'll talk about those specifically.
Although often that is what you get if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, it can be.
But it is good for when you've got like groups of people coming over as well. I quite like making a fondue or something like that, and even just a big dish of something in the slow cooker. You can keep it warm and then you just leave it in the middle of the table and people can serve themselves, which is good.
And if you've got people coming over, you cook and you're starting to cook perhaps about lunchtime if they're coming over in the evening.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if they're a little bit late, that's fine. They can stay in a slow cooker for an extra hour and it's not going to do it any harm. So it's really good.
And you can have a glass of wine.
Yeah, exactly. Your friends come over, you have a glass of wine. It's like, oh, you ready to eat now? Yes.
Yeah.
And then straight into the slow cooker and it's cooked.
Yeah. And they're very portable, obviously, by their nature. So they're very easy to take away with you if you want to, you know, go camping and you've got perhaps a camper van or something like that. Again, because it's a space saver and because it's really easy. You can literally just chuck it all in, plug it in, go off for your walk or whatever you're doing that day, come back and it's all ready.
Yeah. Yeah. And really good for if you've got a busy life. So I think you put stuff in before you go to work in the morning, put it on a slow setting. Certainly I work from home. So if I've got a busy evening and I won't have time to cook, I might prep at lunchtime, chuck it all in a slow cooker, and then 5 o'clock, 5:30, I finish work and tea's ready.
Yep.
Really good.
Absolutely.
And it's also very energy efficient, depending on what you use it for. So I've done some calculations here, and I'll put the full calculations in the show notes. But basically, if you run a 200-watt slow cooker, which is what most of them are, for 6 hours, that's going to cost you 39p, give or take. That's 33 pence per kilowatt hour, as it is at the moment in the UK. So 39 pence for a 200-watt slow cooker for 6 hours. Equivalent in an oven. If you put an oven on for 40 minutes, so a 2 kilowatt oven at 40 minutes would cost you 43 pence. So only 4 pence more. I mean, that is 10%. So 10% more in an oven for 40 minutes. But let's say you decided to cook something in the oven and it took more than 40 minutes, like a jacket potato. Mm. If you cooked a jacket potato in the oven for 4 hours, it would cost you £2.64. Whereas a jacket potato in a slow cooker for 6 hours would cost you 39p.
Yeah.
That's a massive difference. So a very rough rule of thumb is slow cooker is cheaper if you're going to have the oven on for longer than 40 minutes. So a 40 minute oven time and it's about the same. Any longer than that, it's much cheaper than a slow cooker.
And I think also if you've got more than one person in the house and you're eating at different times, so perhaps you've got kids coming home at different times, or you've got one of you is working and another one's working a different shift or something like that, they can be really useful because you can just keep it warm and you can cook it and it'd be ready and it doesn't spoil if you just keep it heating up. Whereas if you kept it in an oven or you had to reheat the oven to put it on again to heat it up, then that's obviously energy inefficient.
Yeah. So that's some of the benefits for slow cooker. Let's look at the different types. You've got little individual one.
Yeah, it's a tiny little one. I think I bought it from Argos for about, I don't know, 10 quid about 15 years ago. And I really enjoy using it. I used to have a completely different type, which is very old, which I inherited. So the one I've got now is a ceramic pot, a very small, deep pot with a glass lid. And the whole thing sits inside the case of the slow cooker. The other one I used to have was a bottom heated one. So it was a big sort of casserole dish on almost what looked like a camping stove. And it used to cook it from the bottom. And it wasn't enclosed, so it didn't keep the heat as much. But what I like about this one that I've got now is it's tiny, and it just means it's enough for one person. It's great.
And how many settings has it got?
It's only got one setting.
So they're on or off?
Literally on or off, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas mine, I've got a larger family size one. So I think mine was something like £25, I think, again, from Argos. But I've got three settings. So low, high, and keep warm. Mm-hmm. And so a low setting would be if you want to cook something throughout a whole day, perhaps 8 hours, something like that. A high setting will cook the same food in about 4 hours. And what I like about it as well is once the food's cooked, as actors were saying, if friends are coming over, I just switch it down to the keep warm setting.
Yep.
And it keeps it warm. I've also used the keep warm setting for mulled wine at Christmas.
Oh, yeah. That's
it was
a good
really,
one. Yeah,
really
yeah.
Good mulled wine in a slow cooker on keep warm.
Make me want a glass of mulled wine now. Could all go wrong.
Okay. I know you're going to say something else.
Yeah.
Then,
yeah. So that is quite useful. And another thing, if you've got a really basic one like mine, where it hasn't got heat settings, things, you don't want to go out and leave it for 12 hours, which I have done before, come home to slush, basically. What you can do is just use an ordinary timer switch, plug it into that and set it to come on perhaps 6 hours before you're getting home. That's a really good tip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So some of the things that you can cook in slow cookers. So a lot of people talk about obviously making stew. There's some really obvious things like rice pudding, stuff that cooks really slowly. But there's also a wealth of different recipes out there. I mean, at the moment, the BBC website is doing a lot of slow cooker recipes. And also it's worth mentioning that you can get a slow cooker book and convert a lot of recipes to vegan. So predominantly when people are talking about a lot of these recipes in slow cooker books, you can just take out the meat and substitute something else. It works very well. I mean, the chances are if you've got a vegan based dish, it's going to take a little bit less time than one with meat in by the nature of it. Mm. But I've got an amazing book called The Vegan Slow Cooker, which I'll show you. And this is a really good book. It's by Saskia Sidi. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. Really cheap book, and it's all about vegan recipes for the slow cooker. And one of my favorite recipes in there, which I've used loads, satisfied an urge which I had, you know, as a vegan. I was like, syrup sponge, I've got to have syrup sponge. I saw that book with that recipe in, I'm buying it. That's it. Syrup sponge in the slow cooker is amazing
and really easy to make.
Really easy to make. Yep.
Yeah,
literally. And what else do we make in there?
Well, I mean, I'll use it quite often to make a basic sauce. So this is kind of more classic of what you think a slow cooker would be.
Like a
bolognese sauce.
Yeah.
But I really like just the basic bolognese sauce of just perhaps frying some onions off first, just to brown them off a bit. And we'll talk about some tips for slow cookers in a moment. But brown some onions off. I heat all of my stuff up first before I put it in. So I usually get stuff warm in a pan. So just fry some onions, some garlic, perhaps some ginger, put in how you would normally make a bolognese sauce. So perhaps with tofu, you might use textured vegetable protein. I also just take some root vegetables. So carrots, parsnips, beetroot, put them in a whizzer. And it just turns it into kind of a mince, which works really, really well.
And it all cooks at the same time.
And it all cooks at the same time because it's all the same size.
Yeah.
And that would make a basic bolognese sauce, perhaps with some marjoram or some sort of classic herbs in it.
Obviously, if you put some passata in it.
And passata.
Crucial ingredient.
You can then add chili to it to make it a chili sauce. Or you could add some cumin, some fenugreek.
Mexican spices.
Exactly. So that basic sauce, I use in all sorts of different ways. And one of the things I absolutely love, I'm not a huge English food eater. I quite like stuff with a bit more spice and some different flavors in. But one of my favorites is a stew exactly made like that with larger chunks of potatoes, perhaps some larger chunks of parsnips in it. And then at the end, make some dumplings.
Oh, yeah.
With vegan atura. So it's 100 grams of flour to 33 grams of suet. Literally just a little, probably a tablespoon of water, just top a little bit of water, mix it into a dough, sprinkle in some herbs, some coriander, if you've got fresh coriander, make it so it goes into a little dumpling, chuck them on, and they take about half an hour towards the end of that 4 hour, 6 hour window. So half an hour towards the end, chuck the dumplings in. Obviously, they don't brown like they would in an oven,
but they're soft and fluffy.
Mm-hmm. So to have a stew like that at a winter with dumplings, oh my God.
And I push my dumplings into the stew quite a lot so that they absorb quite a lot of moisture.
Yeah.
So there's only like a little bit sticking out. Whereas I know you put your dumplings on the top and then they kind of absorb a bit of moisture, but they're crispier. And one of the things I do with dumplings also is quite often I'll put some chopped nuts in there because like Brazil nuts and
walnuts
go really well in them. Really good. Again, you know, that's something that you can play with. You can put, you know, vegan Parmesan in or, you know, a bit of nooch or whatever you fancy. But yeah, dumplings.
Nutritional yeast, that is.
Sorry.
For anyone that doesn't know nooch yet.
Another thing which you can do if you've made the sort of bolognese sauce, as Mark was saying, is you can then layer that in a lasagna or you can make it into a shepherd's pie or you can make it into chili. It's very versatile. But, you know, once you've cooked it, freeze what you've got left. And then, although I know you never quite make it to freezing the rest because you eat it.
If you do a shepherd's pie, you do have to cook the potatoes separately. Yeah. You do the mashed potatoes separately. And the mashed potato literally just goes on for the last 20 minutes, half an hour. You don't cook it.
No,
mashed potato
good point.
As well.
Yeah, good point. But of course, you know, there's all the obvious things like curry. That's a really good one to do in slow cooker because it seals all the flavors in. Things like gratins are really good. So if you've got loads of root vegetables, you just don't know what to do with them, chuck them in the slow cooker in layers with a bit of vegan cream. And
so you slice them with a mandolin or with a food presser, so they're very thinly sliced.
Yep. So that's really good. Beetroots, parsnips, all that kind of stuff. There's loads.
And then
of
liquid that you put around the gratin.
Yeah.
What do you use?
I would put a bit of stock in there as well as vegan cream. So I would just put like, I don't know.
Soya cream or coconut milk.
Yeah, anything like that really. You know what we're like. We kind of make it up as we go along, depending on what's in the cupboard.
Nooch.
Yeah,
mustard.
Yeah, anything really. Chuck it all in. Have a glass of wine while you're doing it, you know. The more you drink, the less you care about what's in the slow cooker.
I do. I don't think, we're not here to tell people just to, you can eat anything, whatever you can eat anything and it tastes brilliant if you have enough to drink.
Yeah. And another thing that's really good is things like slow cooked vegetables. So slow cooked aubergine, slow cooked sweet potatoes, really, really good in slow cooker. Again, things that would take a long time in the oven.
Tell you what else we've not written down on our notes here is caramelized onions.
Oh.
Because the slower you cook onions, the nicer they come out. And people tend to cook onions too quickly on the hob by having the temperature too high. So by cooking them really slowly over a course of hours, all the sugars come out in the onions. And
a bit of balsamic vinegar.
Towards the end, a bit of balsamic vinegar, a bit of brown sugar, just let it all caramelize.
Yeah.
It makes the most amazing caramelized onions.
And the other thing we haven't mentioned is the courgette sauce that you make for pasta.
Yeah, that's another one. So courgettes, if you cook courgettes, slice them to probably 2 or 3 millimeters thick, cook them really, really slowly, which you can do in a frying pan, but you've got to make sure the heat is down really low.
Well, you do it in a saucepan, really, with the lid on, wouldn't you?
Really slowly. But doing them in the slow cooker equally comes out really well. And then what I do towards the end is I would grate, so very, very finely grate into a puree some garlic.
Mm.
I quite like not cooking garlic too much. I quite like it that real fresh. When it's not cooked, I mean, it stinks, but it's absolutely amazing. So right at the very end of cooking, I just put in some sort of minced crushed garlic, perhaps a little bit of cream, some herbs, and serve it straight with pasta.
It's amazing. It's
amazing. It's
really beautiful because it all just disintegrates, goes into this kind of amazing. Another thing I really like doing is risotto. So slow cooked risotto is really good. Yeah, really good.
And so with the risotto, you put all of the ingredients in.
Yep.
So you don't have to add the water slowly you would normally.
But you have to get a recipe, follow the recipe, because otherwise you'll end up with not enough liquid in there, which will then make the rice really dry and it won't cook properly. And if you have too much, then it'll just end up like rice soup. So you've got to follow a recipe.
Okay. That's good. We've also made sweet stuff in it. So, and sweet stuff that I would never have thought about cooking in a slow cooker. So brownies is something that I've made in a slow cooker, and you've made banana bread.
Yeah, I mean, with brownies, they get all gooey in the middle, don't they, and crispy on the outside, which is really nice. Banana bread is something that's very simple. I mean, you're going to have either a big slow cooker that you can put a bread tin in to make a loaf like that, or you're just going to do what I do, which is just chuck it all in the little one and just have a round loaf. It doesn't bother me. You can do the same with cakes. You can do like pineapple upside down cake. You can do sticky toffee pudding, anything like that. In the slow cooker for me, because I've got a small tiny slow cooker, I'd just chuck it all in. Whereas in yours, you would actually put it in a tin, put it in the slow cooker.
Well, the brownies, when I did the brownies, I think the slow cooker is lined with greaseproof paper, and the mixture goes into a lined greaseproof paper, and it all cooks.
Yeah.
Once it's done, you can lift it all out in one. But again, we're not going to do a load of recipes on here. We just want to talk to you and get you motivated to kind of have a look.
Experiment.
And we'll put a link to the Saskia City slow cooker book in the show notes so that you can have a look at some of these recipes.
Yeah. And I think also jacket potatoes mentioned, you know, wrap them in foil and put them in with a little bit of oil and a little bit of salt. Just rub it into the skin, put them in the foil. When you cook a jacket potato in slow cooker, it will come out without a crispy edge. So what I do is I just unwrap it for the last kind of hour to kind of brown it off a little bit, just make the outside a bit crispy. Mm. But yeah, really good.
Yeah. But that's amazing, isn't it? How you can do jacket potatoes. I never would have thought of doing a jacket potato in a slow cooker.
Because it's not worth putting the oven on for one person to have
a jacket potato. Well, exactly. As I said, so a slow cooker that's on for 6 hours will cost you 39p. If you do a jacket potato in the oven for, say, 4 hours, it's going to cost you £2.64.
Yeah.
And it is so much cheaper to do stuff in the slow cooker.
Mm. So, you know, experiment. You can make all sorts of stuff. Bread is really good in the slow cooker. Proving bread in the slow cooker, that's good as well. Probably make the bread up, knead it and everything, and then put it in to cook. That's a really good one as well.
And soup.
Yeah, I mean, obvious stuff like soup, you know, particularly if you've got leftover from whatever you've made. If you've made like a curry or a bolognese or a chili, just whiz it up and keep it as soup in the freezer and you've got a ready-made meal when you need it. Macaroni cheese as well, that's brilliant. So making up a sort of vegan sauce with perhaps nooch and a bit of mustard and a bit of soy sauce and a bit of tomato puree, you know, make a sauce in a normal way. Chuck a load of macaroni in with it, stir it all in, put it in slow cooker and cook it. It's amazing.
Wonderful. Mm. Sounds really good. So, should we look at some tips, some cooking tips for slow cookers?
Yeah. So you can literally, as we've said, chuck it all in, leave it, which, you know, sometimes, let's face it, I do that because I haven't got time. So one of the key things with doing that is just to be aware that things, ingredients cook at different times. So if you've got some like beetroot in there and courgette, you know, the beetroot is going to cook a lot longer than the courgette is. So you do need to be aware of the size of vegetables that you're putting in. So my advice is, anything that's going to take a long time, cut it up really small. Anything that's going to take less time, cut it into bigger chunks.
Yeah.
The reason for that is you don't want to keep opening the slow cooker, because I've heard it said that every time you open the slow cooker to check on it or to add an ingredient, you're losing half an hour of the cooking time. So you're going to have to add on another half an hour, even if you just open the top to have a look.
Yeah.
So it is worth trying to get everything to cook at the same time.
Yeah.
Having said that, there are recipes where you will need to add things towards the end.
Yeah. So some of the things that we would add towards the end, things like leafy greens. Mm. So if you've got kale,
spinach,
or chard,
and
you want to add those leaves towards the end, which can be really, really tasty. If you put those in at the beginning and cook them for 6 hours, they'll just go bitter and horrible.
Yeah. It just goes like sludge.
Yeah. So those kind of things, the leafy greens, we chop up fine and then half an hour towards the end, lift the lid, chuck in the leafy greens, give them a stir around and put the lid back on again.
Yep.
And that'd be absolutely fine. So there are instances where you do add stuff towards the end.
Yeah. I mean, with the moisture content, that's really getting it right is the key thing. So you obviously are keeping the environment very moist by the fact that the slow cooker will cook, make condensation, the water will fall back into the dish, unlike in a saucepan where you'll open it and it'll evaporate.
Yeah.
So you're probably going to have a higher moisture content. And also because of the fact that vegetables are cooking slowly, they'll release more moisture. They're not just getting fried and sealed. So for that reason, you know, do have a look at it. Do keep an eye on it, but start with a recipe to begin with, because the chances are that recipe is going to be more accurate. And there is variation.
And it's going to look slightly drier, or there'll be less water at the beginning than you might otherwise use, because you're not going to lose the water through cooking in a saucepan.
Yeah.
Because you retain the water.
Yeah. So I would suggest that if you're new to this and you're just making something that's perhaps a little bit trickier, like risotto, once you've got the recipe and you put all the ingredients in, you just shut the lid, and it is, you know, worth getting a recipe to follow. And you will have to adapt it a little bit depending on what kind of make of slow cooker you've got, depending on how big it is, what the temperature in the room is as well. So that's the reason why, for instance, you pre-cook quite often, you make it up and then put it in the slow cooker. It saves a lot of time if the room is very cold, if the slow cooker is cold.
Yeah.
I always prep the stuff while slow cooker's on, so it's warm when it goes in, so it's up to temperature. The same as you would preheat an oven, basically. Mm. But yeah, if you're leaving it all day, it's going to go in at room temperature and it will heat up gradually. But yeah.
And it's also important to make sure a slow cooker is on a flat surface, because you will get this condensation build on the inside of the lid. And if stuff's at an angle, then it's all going to drip off and run different ways. Mm-hmm. And what you actually want is the condensation to build up on the lid. It then drips down and seals all the way around the edge. And that's how you get a seal. If it's on an angle, you'll have half of the slow cooker sealed and the other half not sealed.
Yeah. And I think also that's a useful tip, which I'd never thought about until I got a slow cooker book, was that you can actually, at the end of the cooking process, leave the lid slightly ajar. And the reason you might do that is to evaporate off some of the liquid. If you've got too much liquid in there, or if you want to cook stuff slightly differently, just leave the lid off a little bit. It will evaporate some of the moisture, reduce the liquid content in the slow cooker. Likewise, if it's looking too liquid and you just want to add a spoonful of chai seeds, or you want to add a bit of corn flour in a sort of tiny amount of water, mix that together first, chuck that in. That will thicken it as well. I've done the same with sort of, you know, bouillon and gravy granules as well. Just kind of thickened it up quickly by chucking those in, giving it a stir, and then leave the lid off slightly. Sure. So you can use it in different ways. It's not just that you have to have the lid on all the time. Some recipes like crumbles and things like that, you could take the lid off towards the end, or just leave it ajar slightly.
And some things we like to seal beforehand. So seal and brown off. So something like seitan, tofu, onions, you might want to have a bit of colour to them. Yep. So we just fry them off to start off with, mm-hmm. get them going, brown them, put them in. Nuts is also something you might want to toast the nuts first. It brings out the flavour, activates the nuts, so they're a little bit healthier. They taste nicer.
Yeah.
So just toast them in a frying pan before putting them into the slow cooker.
Yeah, I think that's really useful tips. And, you know, don't be afraid to try different things in it and try and adapt recipes. So either that's from a existing cookbook, or you could just, you know, play with recipes that you find online. There's loads of information out there, but it's a really, really good time to experiment in the winter with different slow cooker recipes, especially the mulled wine. I do like that. I've forgotten about that. You reminded me.
I know. Guess what? We're having this afternoon.
Ooh, yeah, baby.
And another tip we've got written down here is not to store stuff in a slow cooker, because they're usually quite made of a heavy ceramic, which takes a long time to cool down. And during that long time cooling down phase, you can get bacteria growth.
Yeah.
So if you want to store stuff, get it out of the slow cooker, put it into something else to allow it to cool quickly, then pop it in the fridge.
Yeah. Don't ever put your slow cooker middle in the fridge, because it's just not a good idea. It's not recommended at all. And likewise, if you haven't got a slow cooker liner, which apparently you can buy, what you can do with the slow cooker is actually line it with greaseproof paper. That's quite useful for things like pies or cakes or something like that, biscuits. If you make those kind of things in the slow cooker, which you can also use individual cases in the slow cooker. So, you know, like fairy cakes, you can put in the slow cooker in little individual cases, mm-hmm. and they'll basically grow and cook in that. I've also seen on the internet, and I haven't tried this, somebody cook a whole English breakfast in the slow cooker in one go. So they literally have all these little pots of like beans, scrambled tofu, you know, wilted spinach, all that kind of stuff in little tubs with all the sausages stood up around the edge. And they've actually cooked a whole vegan breakfast.
In a slow cooker.
Oh, sorry. No, it wasn't vegan. I beg your pardon. It wasn't a vegan breakfast.
But you could easily veganize it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You have to play around with it a bit. But yeah, that looks like quite fun.
Brilliant.
Especially if you can set it the night before, wake up in the morning.
And it's cooked. And we used to do, when we used to go camping, we used to take our slow cooker and do porridge like mm-hmm. that. So you put porridge in the night before, set the timer on for the slow cooker, wake up in the morning, especially because there were six of us. Yeah. You'd wake up in the morning and have porridge that's already in the slow cooker from being on a timer overnight.
And another thing, which I haven't mentioned, is stuffed vegetables. So things like stuffed peppers, stuffed with veg and rice and things, you can cook them in the slow cooker, as long as the rice is cooked before you put it in there. But again, it's knowing what prep you need to do in advance. Once you've done all that, you know, you can either freeze ingredients ready chopped and ready to go and just chuck them in before you go to work and switch it on. Or you can actually prep the whole thing, put it in the slow cooker, go and have a glass of wine, obviously, come back and it's all cooked in a few hours' time. So that's quite good.
And I think check the instructions of your slow cooker, because my slow cooker definitely says do not put anything in cold.
Yeah.
But my slow cooker is much bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
Then that may be the reason why. Whereas if yours, you can put stuff in cold. So I think make sure you check the instructions of your individual cooker as to whether it says you can put cold stuff in or not.
And a final thing about safety, because obviously we want you to be responsible, not drink too much while you're cooking. Just be aware of the obvious fact. If you're going to leave your slow cooker on all day, make sure there's no wires that are crossing over anything dangerous. Make sure there's nothing in the way that could fall on top of it and cause a fire. Make sure that no pets can jump up on the surface and get burned. Yes. Little kids can't reach it. All that kind of stuff, you know, really basic, obvious stuff. And the most important one of all, which I can't believe people ever do this, don't put anything directly into the bottom of the slow cooker to cook without the actual dish.
Oh, I see. Without the bowl in. Yeah, please don't do that.
People do that.
Crazy.
Yeah. So that's it for this one. So hopefully that's been useful and you've enjoyed getting some inspiration. Again, I would say get a good book, have a look through, adapt some recipes, and just experiment, like everything.
Mm. So we're going to hang around a little bit now on Instagram. So if you want to engage with us live on these podcasts, make sure you follow the Whole Food Vegan podcast on Instagram, because all of these are streamed live as we're recording them. And then we can take direct questions from you. So give us a follow on Instagram.
And we've also got to say to everyone, have a really happy, healthy vegan Christmas and all the best for the new year. And we will be back in January with another exciting topic, which we haven't actually decided yet.
But it'll probably include mulled wine.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
Amongst other things.
Yeah. We'll be on a health kick probably and talk about, we've eaten so much. And we'll probably talk about Veganuary as well.
Yes, we will, because we will be back in January.
Yep. So that's it from us. All right. So all the best. Have a great Christmas. Thanks for following us and share with your friends.
Bye now. Thank you for listening. And if you have enjoyed this podcast, please remember to rate, review and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. If you'd like to be featured on the show or to send us any comments, please email behealthy@govegan.online. See you soon.